is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
To the most populous and potentially richest state in Africa, perhaps in the Western and Eastern Hemisphere, once upon a time, Nigeria. An important presidential election, a surprise and a disappointment. Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, is here to help us understand both the surprise and the disappointment in one man, Tinubu, winning for the president's party, the All Progressive Party, a four-year term in the presidency, continuing the presidency of President Buhari, we can believe in policy. But the surprise is that Tinubu is challenged when it comes to explaining his policies. Gregory, a very good evening to you. There are charges of corruption in the vote. There were disappointments because this was supposed to be something closely monitored. Who is Tinubu and what is he promising, or what are his supporters saying he will bring to Nigeria, which is now very badly damaged by corruption, by internal strife, by violence, by outlawry, and also by the confusion of policies between the North and the South? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, you said, what do former Governor Bola Ahmed Tinubu's supporters saying about him? You could ask the question, what supporters? This is a man who won the presidency on the February 25th elections with one-third of the votes cast in the election. In other words, two-thirds of the voters voted against the policies of the outgoing government, the All Progressives Congress under President Muhammadu Buhari, which are now going to be carried on by incoming President Bola Tinubu. So it's interesting that Bola Tinubu said he was going to revive the country's economy. Well, and we would all hope that he does. But the reality is that there's no evidence that there's going to be any change from Buhari's policies, the APC policies. So it's going to be an interesting 4 years ahead, certainly a period of great unrest, distrust. You can't have that many voters voting against a policy which is then thrust upon them again. The interesting thing was that it all started out looking so good. The INEC, the Independent National Electoral Commission, had managed to sign up something like 90-plus million voters, with their permanent voter cards and so on, and getting ready for the election. That all looked good because it's a very high-tech election. It was very transparent in the way they were signing up and registering voters. At the end of the day, however, numerous instances were found of people with 15 or 20 voter cards going and doing some multiple voting at various places around the country. Maybe not sufficient to sway the election. But what was interesting was that although they signed up all of these new voters, all of whom expressed an interest in obviously voting, but 25% of them showed up at the voting polls to actually cast a ballot. So you had an incredibly low voter turnout, something like 25% of the registered voters. And of that 25%, two-thirds voted against the outgoing government, which was then re-elected. So very, very poor circumstances. Now, Governor Tinubu, you alluded to the fact that he was perhaps somewhat challenged. He's only 70 years old, so he's relatively young, but he has displayed a general lack of awareness and ability to respond to questions. He reminds people of some of the problems they'd seen with the current U.S. president, that claims that he is not always constantly on top of the situation. And that's certainly the case with Bola Tinubu. Now, he had a charmed life as governor of Lagos, and in fact, Lagos State prospered mightily under him, but so did corruption. I know he claims to be a poor, honest politician, but he does have three or four private jets which he owns. He was the subject of a Drug Enforcement Administration prosecution in the United States when he lived in the U.S. That case was settled out of court with Tinubu settling large sums of money on the U.S. government as a penalty, but he wasn't. He didn't get a conviction, and he walked away from that. But it did taint his career. He hasn't come up with any really consistent or coherent policy commitments for the next 4 years. And so we can only think that it's going to be more of the same. And yet what we saw in the past 8 years under the APC government of former General Muhammadu Buhari was the absolute destruction of foreign direct investment in Nigeria. It's sank to almost insignificant levels over the past 8 years, and the election of President-elect Tinubu is not going to help matters when he takes office in late May of this year. So you've got a declining foreign investment base, you've got a declining economy, you have rampant inflation in the same order of magnitude as Turkey, for example. So none of this looks good for the next few years, and there are no policies to improve the security situation, which is the prerequisite to improving the stability of the farming communities and the ability to get agricultural products to market, to get new industries created, and the massive youth unemployment addressed. And you've got in Nigeria probably one of the youngest populations on the planet, especially for a big country. The average age of Nigerians is 17 years of age. So this is quite spectacular that this is a country which needs jobs desperately. So what we saw, though, with this election was that it suffered from being forced, with the collapse of the military government in the 1990s, to adopt an identical model of governance to the United States. And President Clinton at the time urged the Nigerians not to go back to the Westminster form of parliamentary government that they'd had before, and to go instead for the US model. And that worked relatively well as long as you had two major parties slogging it out at the election. This time, however, we saw a significant third party come up in the Labour Party, which went from being a small regional contender for the election, and it got beyond the small regional basis, and it took a lot of votes. Now, this reminds you of the 1992 U.S. presidential race, in which we had Ross Perot coming in and taking 19.7 million votes, essentially away from the vote pool for incumbent President George H.W. Bush. So, as a result, that third party destroyed Bush's attempt for re-election and put in place the administration of Bill Clinton. And the same thing happened in Nigeria, where this sudden third party rise and another fourth party rise took the vote away, which would have put Atiku Abubakar in as president instead of the current Tinubu government or a government-elect. So basically, we've seen a great disservice and a distortion of democracy by the rise of a third-party candidate and then the fourth-party candidate of Rabiu Kwankwaso, Fulani, former governor and former senator from Kano State in the north. And he took 1.5 million votes, And those were almost all taken away from Atiku. So without Kwankwaso taking Kano State, Atiku would have taken all of the north and a lot of the south, and would have come into power. So we see now that the Nigerian model of governance is not suited to this the emergence of all of these new parties. So that's quite apart from any corruption which might have occurred or any mismanagement which occurred with the Independent National Electoral Commission.
There is protest by Atiku Abubakar and Peter Obi. Is that going to come to anything? They're both charging sham.
Yep, they're both correct up to a point. I don't believe that they will get anywhere simply because once INEC has declared the vote, it's very, very hard to overturn it. And the courts are more than likely, I believe, to side with the outgoing government or the incumbent party. So I think it's going to be very difficult. There's certainly a lot of legality on the side of Obi and Atiku. But as I say, I think it's going to be difficult for that to go anywhere. As a result, you'll have an electorate which feels essentially disenfranchised, and they may then fight their way through the National Assembly, which is going to be far more spread among the different parties.
Well, they have a president who has 10% of the eligible voters, Gregory. It's inherently fragile. That's what the Financial Times calls it. Who gains from this? China? Who on the outside wins when Nigeria loses like this? We have about a minute.
Well, nobody gains, really. Even China doesn't gain, because China would benefit significantly if there was a strong economy in Nigeria. In other words, one which could repay Chinese loans and bring in Chinese trade. And that's not going to happen. The U.S. and the West are not going to benefit because, frankly, Nigeria is once again becoming a black hole in Africa's recovery. So it's going to be a bad day for all of Africa, because Nigeria was meant to lead the economic recovery of all of Africa, and it's certainly not going to do that.
We're headed to Australia. China has declared Australia hostile. Why? AUKUS. Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. I'm John Battle.